I will pray for illumination on God's word. So this is our second part of our worship service today. First, we approach God, and now God is here with us, and now we can listen to God speaking to us through the words of the Bible. And so first, so that we make sure that it's God we're listening to, and not just whatever thoughts are going in our head, though we can't stop those, I pray for God's illumination on the word. Dear Jesus, we celebrate your light in all forms of leadership in this world. Thank you for the leaders and scouts among us. They are examples of your light and leadership in our community. Lord, let their presence among us help us to better understand your word so we can be better leaders and disciples for your glory. Amen.
So I'm Jay Weeder. I have had the pleasure of being the Cup Master of PAC 1980 for the last 6 years, and I'm ready to transition on to Boy Scouts and leave it in the capable hands of John Hendel. Today's reading will be from Matthew chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested by King Herod of Galilee, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan of Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light was dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately he left their nets and followed them. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him, went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my salvation. Amen. So one thing I've always wondered about the Gospels is this. Why did Jesus choose four fishermen to be his disciples? And I thought that this might be a good week to figure that out because we have the scouts here. We know that they love to be outdoors, and so I'm going to ask them to do an experiment with us. Why did Jesus pick fishermen? So I'm not quite sure, but I have some ideas, and I think if we ask the scouts to work with us, they can help us figure this out. So up front, we have how many? We have six pails. And so I'm going to ask scouts and the people who are helping scouts to come and to take and make six teams. And I'm going to ask you to go fishing in our congregation, because in our congregation, there are 78 sea creatures and they're waiting to be found. They're on 48 puzzle pieces. So we're asking you guys to team up, and one person in each team needs to hold the pail and very respectfully go and ask people if they have any fish to give you. Go ahead. Don't let the big kids get all the fish. So make sure you find all the pieces, because our experiment won't work if we don't have all of them. Remember to ask respectfully. Respect the fish and respect the sea. Okay, so they think they found all the pieces. Good job. So now, everybody listen up, come on up. Your challenge is up here to put the pieces together without saying a word. Can you guys do that? Can you do this without talking to each other? Wait. So this is your challenge. You cannot say a word. We want to hear nothing. But we want you guys to put all the pieces together. You can put the pails on the next step. Okay, in total silence. That's your job. Okay, you guys. So while we're watching this happen, I've been thinking about fishing and discipleship, and thinking that there's got to be a reason why Jesus picked four disciples to be at the core. Oh, I hear too much talking. It has to be done in silence, or else it doesn't count. And it occurred to me that there were a lot of attributes of disciples and fishermen that are probably the same. And so I don't know a lot about fishing. I only went fishing once, really fishing. And so I looked up a fisherman's blog. I looked up the blog of a bass fisherman, and he listed six traits. And it occurred to me that all six traits apply both to fishermen and disciples. So let's see how this sounds. The first one is what we're seeing right here. And that is, it's hard to imagine another occupation besides fishermen that requires more teamwork, right? So these guys aren't allowed to say anything, and yet they have to work together, and they're doing such a great job. And I wonder if you guys remember who taught you first to fish, if you ever did. The time I really fished, I was 9 years old, and my best friend's family took me on a vacation to a beach house on Long Island Sound. And her father, because my father didn't know how to fish, he taught me how to cast a line. I did that for a long time. And then he made me bait my own hook with a live, thick, wiggly worm. And that was really hard. And then he showed me how to use the rod and the reel and not to have a big tangle. And we all had to work together because we were all in the same boat, and we couldn't all cast at the same time. But after a while, I felt something tugging, and I was really afraid, and it was heavy. And when I pulled it in, I didn't really want to, but then out came something that seemed gigantic to me, and it was a fish that was the biggest fish I'd ever seen, whole. And it was multicolored. And it came out of the water. I couldn't believe it. It was such a shock. And it looked like a rainbow, and it had these like great big wings for its fins. And so I learned later that that was called a robin fish. But I was really surprised. And so I know that teamwork, I never would have caught my first fish if it wasn't for teamwork like this, if there wasn't a leader and if there weren't a lot of people cooperating together. So we know that I couldn't do it by myself, that I needed a team, and I think Jesus' disciples knew first that they couldn't do it themselves. They weren't superheroes. They were people who were really good at working as a team. Another thing that fishermen have innately, and which definitely our scouts have, is curiosity and a willingness to learn new things, just as they're learning right now how to do a floor puzzle by themselves across many ages. And they don't know how the pieces go together, but they're very curious. And so I believe that this being curious and wanting to learn is a very important part of being a disciple. And Jesus tested his disciples. He baited them. He gave them a simple invitation. He said something very provocative. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, there's no way that those fishermen could have known what Jesus meant by that, being fishers of men, but they were curious, and so they dropped everything that they had. They dropped everything they had, just as we see these scouts using their curiosity to put all these pieces together. The fishermen in the gospel story are also trying to put the pieces together. They want to learn from Jesus. They want to put all the pieces of God's word together. And so they're really curious. And that is what makes them drop their nets. And so, as disciples of Christ, we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus calling to us? Are we curious about what Jesus can teach us? And what do we need to do to drop? What do we need to drop and let go of in order to follow Jesus more closely? Are we open to Jesus' words? And what do we want to learn from Jesus? Wow, it's really coming together up here. There's only a few more pieces left. These are very curious, fast learners. They've never done this puzzle before, and yet they're working across all these differences to do one project together. Just as our scouts had to respectfully ask for your puzzle pieces, fishermen, the bass blogger taught me, fishermen have to respect the sea and the seasons and the fish. They never know whether their catch will be good in a certain spot or at a particular time of day, before a shower or after a shower. Uh-oh, what's happening? Wow. We have two missing pieces. Does anybody have missing pieces? This is total teamwork. Awesome. Oh. Do we have one more piece? Can you help look in the pews? Okay, we'll save that piece. That's our missing piece that's going to get us to the end. And if we find the missing piece, I have a jar full of fish for the missing piece, okay? So let's put the second to last one in. You guys, it's really beautiful. What do you think? It's good, right? Okay, awesome job. Let's give them applause for doing their work. Everyone can come up and see how beautiful the work is. And for whoever finds the last piece, there are some 48 beautiful pieces of fish for you. So just to recap, teamwork, willingness to learn, and respect, right? A fisherman knows respect. They have to respect the weather. They have to respect the sea. And they have to respect each other. And disciples really need to learn respect as well, because they have to respect the culture that they go into. They have to respect different climates. They have to respect if there's something serious going on in the world. Disciples need a lot of respect, just as scouts do. And then something else about the fishermen, they have to be very patient. You have to wait for the fish to take the bait. And it can seem like an eternity. But fishermen get to spend that time outside in the most beautiful places in the world. And that's what I love about scouting, that scouts learn a reverence for our natural world. A fisherman lives with life-sustaining water, air-filtering trees, warmth-nurturing sunlight, and lung-filling fresh air. So they really understand all the good things, the best things in our lives. And so they wait, but they can appreciate all God's gifts. So a good fisherman, just like a good disciple, never feels like she is wasting her time. She's focused on the end product, which she can only achieve by being patient. So fishermen have hope, and that's something disciples have to have too. We have to have hope that we're going to be led to people who want to become part of Jesus' church. When sharing the message of Jesus with others, sometimes we have to retrieve them from their fishing hole. It's easy to cast a line into somebody else's pond, but it's challenging to reel them in and to help them come home to God. But that's what the calling of a disciple is, to meet others where they are, to develop a friendship that's rooted in love and mercy, and steer people by the actions of Christ and walk them out of their own pond into an ocean of grace, an ocean of God's grace. The fruits of casting the rod bear greater worth than the time it takes to wait. So St. Paul told us, love is patient. And we can ask ourselves, am I patient with myself as a disciple? Am I patient with others? Am I patient with God? And then finally, determination. Because those scouts were very determined. Disciples possess a very strong determination and high motivation to do what God asks us to do and to never give up. And Jesus, I think, picked fishermen because he knew that their determination was strong enough to testify to the community of believers, to survive all kinds of persecution and martyrdom. So some of them even died because of their beliefs. And to become the people of God, to grow the church into what it is now, kind of a universal church. So Jesus also gave us a vision, and every good fisherman needs a vision. There was a movie in the 1980s called On Golden Pond, starring Henry Fonda. He portrayed an elderly retired family man named Norman. And he was having a really hard time connecting with his estranged daughter, who happened to be Jane Fonda, Henry Fonda's daughter. But he loved to fish, and each summer at the family fishing cottage, Norman imagined catching the biggest fish in the pond, and he called that fish Walter, but he had never seen Walter. So the whole family was used to this idea that there was going to be a big fish. And that's like Christ's vision of the whole world being part of the church and following God. Not one particular church, church with a small C, but the church of God. Henry Fonda insisted that Walter was in the pond. And sure enough, while fishing with his new step-grandson, his grandson, who's named Billy, hooks a really big fish that they called Walter and scoops it up with a net. And they had this huge fish after all. So the success in the end really did happen with a lot of determination, with vision, with patience, with respect. Good fishermen teach others how to respect the sea and the fish. They demonstrate patience and teamwork, and they help build determination. as they fish side by side. And that's what scouting does for all of our youth. They put our young and our old together. They bring our parents and our leaders and our young adults together. And everybody learns together. So being a scout, being a fisherman, it's all very much the same kind of thing, where we can all become Christ's disciples. And just as Norman on Golden Pond handed over his fishing rod to his grandson, Jesus has handed over the church to us. And it's our turn to cast into the deep of the sea and to pull in disciples for Christ. So to all the scout leaders and faith leaders here today, happy fishing and thanks be to God. So pray with me. Jesus, our brother, you've come down to the seashore of our lives. You have invited us to follow you to be fishers of people, which is another way of saying you want us to be leaders of people, leaders who can lead others to follow you. Lord, help us practice teamwork and learn new skills. Help us to grow in respect for one another and for God's work in the world. Help us patiently to wait for the work of the Holy Spirit. Help us be determined to never give up on doing your will. And grant us vision to imagine your whole world caught in the net of God's new creation. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. Now, friends, I invite you to stay seated. We enter the third and final part of our worship service today. We respond to God's word. And our first way of doing that is to sing a song of reflection. You have come down to this lakeshore, and that's number 116.